Thank you, guys. What an honor to be here. Man, when you were talking about this weekend, and there's a lot of prophetic significance, I feel like we're stumbling into this storyline that God's been writing for so many years. And I believe tonight this will be our 37th city. And Kerrville's by far the smallest. which is great. I mean, I grew up in a small town in Montana, and the Lord's been sending us to all of these hot spots across America where there's been violence and crime and rioting, and I'm sure some of you guys have probably been following the story. And so it was interesting when this whole weekend, we were planning to come to Texas, and I was thinking about it. I shot my first buck in Hill Country. And that started a virus in me of hunting that I can't get rid of. but I was thinking about, when we were going into Fort Worth on Friday, I was like, Lord, what do you want to do? We just came out of this Great Lakes tour. We were in Chicago. The crazy mayor up there was trying to block us from worshiping, and we ended up having thousands of people that we did a Jesus march through South Chicago where 63 people were shot the weekend before. And we flipped the script on that city and just brought such a spirit of courage and hope. And, Seattle, crazy Antifa, and, we're in Portland with the riots. And, we just kind of have this history the Lord's sending us. And for those of you that might not know our story, for the last about 20 years, we've been really focused on the war zones of the earth. And so the Lord has been sending us as a family, a lot of times as a family, sometimes I'll just go into places of turmoil and war. And, we have a long-term project in Iraq that we started at the height of ISIS and brought my family in there, my kids, and saw the Lord do incredible things as we worshiped and prayed. We literally are seeing, the stories like from the Bible take place in our day of powers and principalities being dethroned. And it's just been amazing. Gone into North Korea, into, the worst, most persecuted places in the world. So that's our history. And so when the pandemic happened churches closed and we couldn't go anywhere, passports that we use, I usually go to 20 to 30 nations a year, everything closed down, and I really felt like the Lord said it's time to focus on America. And then who would have known the strife, the unrest, the demon of violence that would grip our country. And so anyway, when we decided to come to Texas, I was thinking, I love Texas. Texas is amazing. We used to live in Dallas, and I there probably isn't a week that goes by where I'm like, Lord, I fit so much better in Texas than California. Remind me again. Every month when I'm paying that tax bill, I'm like, Lord, remind me again. When I go pump up my car with gas, my truck, Lord, why am I not in the land of milk and honey? And so, but, when we were coming, I'm just like, there's a lot of amazing things, experiences in Texas, but Lord, you're sending us here in the midst of all of these cities of trauma and crisis. And when we were setting up in Fort Worth on a Friday night, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't see protesters anywhere. I don't see Antifa anywhere. The police are smiling at us. Where the heck are we? Oh yeah, we're in Texas, And, we had close to 7,000 people that showed up on Friday, and the Lord began to speak to me about this weekend, that this weekend is about making a statement for the nation, and about, and right before Friday, we found out about the diagnosis of the president, and so that night, we prayed, 7,000 Texans just, God, bring breakthrough to the president and the first lady. And so that night, the president tweeted out from Walter Reed Hospital where he was, I'm doing okay. I think, things, seem to be, thanks for the prayers. And I said, we're here in Fort Worth with 7,000 people praying for you, you know, and that tweet from that, from, and that video of our time in Fort Worth went viral across the internet. And then what took place yesterday in Dallas was so profound. I have been praying since I was 17 years old with tears and groans, God, would you reverse the death decree of Roe v. Wade in America? Would you raise up a generation of deliverers that would overturn with the blood of 62 million babies, God, would it move our hearts to see a shift in our generation? And so, you know, when we went into Dallas, we really felt like the Lord was calling us to do a prayer march. Of course, we didn't get permits. We never get permits. You know, I mean, and they, if they say, well, where's your permit? We go, oh, we're just protesting. They're like, oh, okay. So, and you know, that's the key word these days, you know, worship, protest. Well, what are you protesting? Well, we're actually protesting for heaven to come to the earth. And so we marched yesterday, caused a little bit of a scene in Dallas because, you know, we tried to warn the police, hey, there might be some folks that show up, and I know it's 11 a.m., and we had to do it early so that we could make the drive all the way down here for this morning. And, you know, it's a privilege, I just want to say, to be here in the morning. I haven't been doing Sunday morning church services. I've been resting my voice because our schedule's so crazy, but it really is an honor to be able to speak with you guys and prep you a little bit for what I feel like is going to take place tonight. So we started at 11 a.m. yesterday. We're like, we don't know if anyone's going to show up. We wanted to do something in Dallas, but we've been doing stuff at night normally. Started at 11 a.m. We're like, there might be some folks that show up. We tried to tell the police. Well, thousands and thousands and thousands showed up. And we marched. We worshiped across the river, and then we marched across the bridge all the way to the steps of the courthouse in Dallas where Roe v. Wade was first became a law or became a thing on that courthouse steps. And I just want to show you a quick recap video of yesterday because it was so profound. We just released this on YouTube. It's really fresh, and I want to use it to build faith for what God's going to do tonight. So if you can roll that Dallas video.
turn from our wicked ways and turn to God.
One more time, sing it out.
We had no idea. Gosh, I get so choked up watching that. Been praying since I was 17. God, you know, end abortion, send revival in America for the sake of our children. I was on the mall in Washington, D.C. during the first call at 17. My wife was there. We were high school sweethearts contending for revival together. And we were praying, you know, God, just shift the courts in America. Change our nation. And we got these red life bands, you know, that we put on our wrists. And I had them on there. I had it on my wrist for like 3 years. I think even in our wedding picture, you can see the red life band. And prayed every day, you know, every day that God would break this, you know, and he would raise up Supreme Court justices and he would raise up, you know, deliverers. And it just, things got worse, and they just got worse, and finally one day I just got so hopeless, I remember I cut it off. I said, I'm done praying this prayer, cut it off my wrist, and here we are in 2020, and we were in Tampa, we were just, you know, a week or two ago, and we were doing a big, you know, worship night, and people were getting saved, and set free, and we were baptizing folks, and then somebody came over to me and they said, Sean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg just died. And I was like, what? So I got on the phone, I called my senator friends. I said, this is crazy. What's going to happen? And he goes, well, we're going to fill the seat. I said, what? He said, yeah, we're going to fill the seat before the election. We are going to get a pro-life Supreme Court justice. We're going to fill the seat. And I remember sitting there, and I just was like, you know, you look at the math, you look at the rulings, you look where we are as a nation, it seemed impossible that this could ever change. And then, so I called back my friends in government the next day, and I said, well, what's the timeline? You know, we're doing this thing in D.C. on the 25th, and I don't know why we picked that date. We just felt like that was a date the Lord gave us. And he said, I heard today that the Senate is going to vote on the floor for the new Supreme Court justice on October 26th, the Monday. I mean, only God could do this. I mean, do you guys realize this moment in history? It's like, this is what I want Americans to hear. This is why we're doing this tonight in Kerrville. I mean, I love Hill Country, and I love Texas, and it's amazing, and I love how sweet people are, and I love shooting deer, and I love trucks, and I love all that. But this is about making a statement. This is about thousands joining on a hill with a giant cross, where we are saying, Jesus is the only hope for America in the middle of a global pandemic, in the middle of civil unrest, in the middle of such a divisive time in our nation. We will stand on this hill and we will declare, as the church has for 2,000 years, Jesus is the only hope for America. Tonight, it's a statement. It's a statement tonight. It's a statement. And millions of Americans are going to watch it tonight. Millions are going to watch it. And we're going to make a statement from South Texas. And I believe it's going to be powerful. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We post these little videos up there, and they just go viral. I believe tonight, I truly believe in my spirit, Millions of people are going to be watching the worship that rises from this little town. Only God could do that. When we started this gathering, just a little bit of the backstory, I had just lost in a primary election. I don't know why the Lord told me to run as a conservative in California. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? But really, I was running on the life issue. I was running to take a stand in such an insane state. I was running because, you know, a 16-year-old has to be with her parent to get her ear pierced. But at 12 years old, the state can pay for a sex change without parental consent. And there's a million things like that in that state that get me so fired up. And I've been praying the prayers and praying the prayers, and I'm like, no, somebody's got to do something. This is crazy. And so goes California, so goes the nation. That's how it is. And that could be for revival, like Azusa Street, the Jesus People movement, or it can be for horrendous legislation. And so, you know, we have the fires and the power outages and the crazy taxes and the crazy politicians. But some reason the Lord called us to be there, and it was for more than just being on a label and being a worship leader and being a part of a great church, which we love. And I thought maybe it was this political thing, and we went for it. We went hard. We blew up our whole life doing this. I mean, seriously, like, only my wife knows, you know, the cost that it took. You know, everybody loves a missionary worship leader family. The moment you take a side politically, you find out who your real friends are. So we got shunned, and we got death threats, and we got hated on, and we got so much resistance from our friends, from our family, from all kind of people. So when we lost, I'm like, God, what the heck was that for? We feel like we had the clear word of the Lord. We gave it everything that we could give. We had a great team. And I remember sitting at home on my property there in California. We have 15 acres. It's kind of like a mini Texas in California. That's the vibe we're going for, you know? You know, we got a little gun range and got a little, you know, deer stand. And, you know, we're trying to create Texas right there, you know. But when I lost the election and when the pandemic hit and then all the churches closed, I was like, what the heck is happening? And then the governor said, you can't sing in church anymore. I was like, okay, that's it. That's it. And I remember pacing in my house, and I told my wife, this is insane. I said, babe, this is America. We live in the United States of America. What the heck? This is not communist China. Like, this cannot happen, you know. And I was getting fired up, and I said, we got to do something. We got to mobilize something. We got to fight. We got to, you know. And so I said, fine, we're going to take the worship party outside. And the Lord, I feel like, dropped in the strategy to go to the Golden Gate Bridge. And so on kind of 24 or 48 hours notice, we mobilized 400 people. We didn't know if anyone was going to show up. 400 people showed up on the Golden Gate Bridge. And we marched to the middle, 200 on the south, 200 on the north. We marched to the middle. We had guitars and shofars and megaphones, and we had a little tiny dinky battery-powered speaker, and it was so windy. It just looked funny and pathetic and weird, and it was just all the things. And then the police showed up, and you know, they were actually really concerned. They were like, you know, you're in San Francisco, right? We're like, yep. And they said, well, we're gonna have to block off a whole lane of the Golden Gate Bridge so no one throws any projectiles at you while you worship. We're like, all right, sounds good. So the police blocked off a whole lane on the bridge just for us to worship. And we declared some things that day, you know. We declared that God's not done with America yet. We declared that what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. We declared that there's a courageous church rising. We declared that the western gate of America is open again, And we declare that there's a new Jesus people movement coming to the nation. And at the time, it seemed so crazy and so out there and so wild and so rogue and weird. And then, but then we went to Huntington Beach the next day, and 1,000 people showed up on the beach. And it wasn't just like this is the thing. The enemy he overplayed his hand. He kicked us out of all of our big mega churches with our amazing LED screens and our great sound. But you know what? The church started to hit the beach, started to meet under bridges, started to meet outside, started to meet on street corners. And we got a little bit of our grit back, a little bit of our fight back, a little bit of our song back. And you'll see even tonight, these gatherings, these times when we gather together, it is not three fast, three slow, predictable. It is a wild party for Jesus. It is an expression of radical adoration and praise. And the Lord began this movement. We began to see, and it wasn't just that we were getting together to worship, but every place we went, people were getting radically saved. Protesters would show up, angry protesters, they would all get saved. Satanists would show up, they would get saved. The people that were stirred up with animosity and hatred and division would come, and they would get healing, and they would get breakthrough. We started baptizing people. I got to baptize my own son in the beach in the Pacific Ocean. People that were going to commit suicide would come and get freed. We began to realize that because of the season and the virus and the churches being closed, that our church was hungry and hurting and needed a touch from heaven. I want to read this in Hebrews 10. You know, when we went after this Jesus people movement thing, we just went hard. I was like, we're going to, you know, my pastor, Bill Johnson, gave me the original copy of the 1972 Life magazine with the cover image of the rally in Dallas, Texas. And it was the big rally that went viral where Billy Graham showed up and he met with these bunch of rogue wild hippies. And he brought validation saying, this is a move of God. They have it on the front page and, you know, the one-way picture. And so we printed that T-shirt. And we said, he's doing it again. And then we made this cross. This was before we were coming to Kerrville. They said, you know, we were talking, what's the branding? I'm like, we're going old school. We're going 70s. We're going straight to the 70s. We're putting a cross on everything. We are returning back. This is not trying to be a cool church thing. We are going back to the source of authority and power and breakthrough. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And so then I knew, I remember driving past that hill and seeing that crazy cross. I was like, what the heck? Texans are wild. And then when this whole thing started, I was like, we got to worship there. We got to find a way to worship there, and we got to live stream it, and we got to get a band up there, and we got to capture it. We got to have all America see a bunch of wild worshipers, thousands on the hill below the cross. So tonight is like a dream come true. Seriously, I am so excited. Like, I cannot wait to gather together. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance, say full assurance, that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us, I love how it keeps saying let us, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. the resistance that we had in the political congressional race, like, doesn't even come close to the resistance we've experienced in the last few months. Because so much of the church doesn't want to be the church. It's literally so absurd to me. And leaders and pastors and people are fighting to stay closed. And I'm like, listen, this is not a political thing. Like, look at the history of the New Testament church. We have a 2,000-year-long history of meeting together through wars, through pandemics. This is not the first virus that's hit the earth. You guys with me? Right? And what it's doing right now is it's exposing in us what we really believe. It's exposing in us, do we really believe the gospel? Do we really believe that Jesus went to be with sick people? We get all these comments, you know, these online trolls. Well, Jesus would wear a mask. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, listen, I'm not here to talk mask or no mask. You do what you want to do, but, like, hold up. Your theology is a little whack. Like, Jesus went purposely and intentionally in harm's way to be with sick people. And every time he did that, they got healed. Well, it's not loving your neighbor. It's not. I'm like, listen. In California, there was a point, and I don't know where we're at right now statistically, where there was more suicide deaths than there were COVID deaths. When we were on the bridge in San Francisco, there was police in suicide patrol. That's all they do on the Golden Gate Bridge. They don't publish the numbers because they're crazy. They have police 24/7. They mobilize back and forth across the bridge just to catch people jumping because so many people jump every day off that bridge. And the churches are closed, and nobody's there to meet the needs of the hurting people. This is the moment and the season where the church shines. I mean, talk about what's essential. My God. The church is the only essential thing. You know, and I feel like it's important for us to understand, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all have been worshiping probably through the whole thing. But I think it's important for us to understand that history is on our side. And I'll tell you, as we've gone from city to city to city, people are hungry. Americans want a touch from Jesus. There are people that every single city, every single place, there's courage that's being stirred up in the hearts of Americans again. We're taking a stand against godless politicians trying to silence our voice. You know, people talk about being a Daniel, and I'm like, yeah, it is Daniel. Daniel opened up his windows in defiance and prayed purposely so they would see him praying. Yeah, he was able to be an aide to the king. He was able to bring truth, but he never wavered on what he believed in. And we need believers and Christians that can take a stand in this hour. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. All right, skip down to verse 36. So you need to persevere. Turn to someone and say, persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, like, this is a season where God is giving us grit again. And I'm going to speak specifically for millennials, because I am one. Like, millennials need some grit. You know, we need to learn how to fight. We need to learn how to take a stand. We need to learn how to not allow the mob to push us into a corner. We're talking about taking a stand for Jesus. We're talking about carrying a boldness. And part of the reason why, you know, people say, oh, you do this, Sean, it's going to be so divisive and people be against you. And that's true. But we have never experienced more favor and more ability to mobilize and gather people. I mean, 7,000 people in Fort Worth, we never did one marketing ad for that. I mean, every city that we go into, oh, you can't go into Seattle. It's so crazy and godless there. No, we're going into Seattle, not just Seattle. We're going into CHOP. We're going right into the heart of Antifa. And we're going to gather in that park. And you know what's funny? So early on when we went into Portland and, you know, the police in Portland are calling us, please don't come. We can't protect you. We can't protect you. There's people getting murdered, people getting cut with knives, and I don't know if you want to bring the church. And I said, first of all, we got a lot of people there to be carrying, so don't worry about that. Second of all, legally, by the way, legally. And second of all, the church is not scared in Oregon. Well, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's going to come. No, you're going to see a church that's not scared. We showed up two blocks from the worst rioting in America where they burned Bibles 3 days before we showed up, and 5,000 Christians rolled into downtown Portland. I couldn't find anyone to do the sound because, you know, we've been wanting to get really good sound and really good musicians, and you know, we just want to do our best to sow a sound of worship that would move God's heart. I want to get a big sound team and a big video team and everything. I couldn't find anybody to do it. Everyone was scared about their gear getting destroyed, and I understand that. And then I met some Russians, and they said, "What do you want us from us?" And I said, "Well, we need a big sound system, we need video, we need all this stuff." They said, "No problem." And I said, "Are you sure? You know, what about your gear? What about all this stuff? What about liability?" They said, "We're not scared." And they said, "We will not allow this city that we live in to become like what we fled in communist Russia." And then I met up with my buddy who's in Minneapolis. He's a Kenyan that's married. He's an American citizen now, but he's a Kenyan, and his wife is white, and they have a beautiful biracial family, and he is straight fire. And when the riots broke out in Minneapolis, he said, "We're going to go right into the heart of the riots." And you know, you got an on-fire revivalist Kenyan, you don't mess with someone like that. I mean, he walked straight up to the gangs and the people trying to shut everything down. He said, "We're not leaving." I stood next to him in Chicago. It's so funny. So it's when we go into these cities, it's me, kind of a white hippie guy, him, you know, a black Kenyan, and we just roll into cities. The cops don't know what to do, you know? And and the deputy chief of police comes up to us in Chicago. This is one of the funny stories. And we're setting up, and it's a 100-acre park in South Chicago. It's just crime-infested, and you know, the mayor is such an interesting person. She sent in at least 50, 100 police to block us. I'm like, these resources might be better used somewhere else in this city, but all right. You want to stop Christians from worshiping? Okay. So they showed up, and the deputy chief of police comes up to us, and she goes, "You guys can't set up here." My Kenyan, he goes, "We are going to set up here." She goes, "Well, you can't really gather here. We're going to gather here." And he just smiles at her. And he's like, he's purposely been trying to get arrested. In every city we go to, it's like his dream right now, you know? Like, and he brings his little suit jacket with him everywhere because he wants to wear it in the mugshot, you know? He's like, "I got to bring my suit." And so we tried in Minneapolis, and they wouldn't arrest him, and we tried in Milwaukee, and we tried in Cleveland, and he was trying so hard in Chicago. And it's just funny, you face down these guys, and he said, "You know what, this is America, we're going to worship, and you're just going to have to lock all of us up, but there's a whole lot of us." And he just smiles with his big white teeth, and the police, I mean, they didn't let us unload our gear, but they ended up letting us use their huge megaphone to lead worship from. Verse 36, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come." The return of Jesus is not up for a national poll. And I wish this, I my prayer is that this morning you will be so gripped with the confidence of heaven. The angels are not looking at America right now with insecurity. It's not like they're up there looking at God and thinking, I don't know if this guy can do it. I don't know if he could pull it out. I mean, he who is coming will come. He's not waiting for the public opinion to switch in his way. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to do what he wants to do in America in this season, and we have a choice if we're going to be a part of it or not. And verse 38, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back. That is not our inheritance. That is not our DNA. That is not what we're called to be as the church. This is an hour for a courageous church to take a stand, because we have the hope of the world. We have the answers for a crumbling society. I am so, in so many ways, like 2020, it's like, it's funny, I was telling my wife, like, all the prophets missed this one. I'm like, I didn't get it totally wrong. I kind of got it half right. We were in New York City, preaching the last sermon of 2019, and I said, you know, I just have this feeling that things are going to be so crazy in 2020. That's what I said, and I said, we need to be like the sons of Issachar that know the times and the seasons, because there's a narrative that's being projected to us every day from our phones, from the media, and I'm telling you, that is not God's narrative. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's another story that he's writing. And we're coming to Kerrville tonight, city number 37, carrying the prophetic destiny, carrying the testimony of what God's doing across America. And we've gone everywhere, New York City, Boston, all across Florida, all across the West Coast. There's no place in America safe anymore from the sound of worship. And so I want to share with you one last quick video, and then I want to pray with you. And, man, I'm so excited for tonight. I'm going to need like 5 more shots of espresso, but I'm going to be ready. I'm so here for it. Today is 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks from right now, we will be gathering in what I believe will be one of the most historical moments in the history of America. One day before the vote on the Supreme Court floor, 9 days before the election, we just sent off our official invitation to the president and vice president. They're going to be fine. They're going to recover. He's going to recover. Everything's going to be great. We have world leaders, congressmen, senators, all kind of stuff planning. God has a moment of divine destiny. And I'm telling you, what's going to take place 3 weeks from today in the National Mall, I mean, it's just a miracle. How we got the permit, how it happened. We still need to raise a lot of money. If you want to be a part of that, we would welcome you. We need about $200,000 to pull this off. God's going to do it. But it will be a moment that marks our nation. And I've been crying to God, Lord, in the year where all of the summer camps are canceled, in the year where all the conferences are canceled, all of the moments for our children and our families to have an encounter, what if you could bring one to the mall 9 days before the election that would change our lives and change the trajectory of the future of our nation? When the whole world is fighting blue and red, we're sitting there saying the government is upon his shoulders. So I want to play this quick video for DC, and then I'm going to pray for you guys this morning.
And it all leads up to this. The nation's capital, Washington, DC, the epicenter of government that affects every nation on the earth. On October 25th, thousands will converge on this city for a holy gathering that will be a tipping point for revival in America. We are coming with our songs, we are coming with our prayers, and we are coming with a dream that this could be the greatest hour of revival in the history of our nation. Don't miss it. Be there, October 25th, the nation's capital. Let us worship.
Come on, who's gonna come with us to DC? I need all the boots, all the cowboy hats. We need them all there. So come on, let's stand up. I wanna pray over you guys. I just wanna bless this church. What an incredible house of God's presence. What an amazing community. On the way to church this morning, I saw a zebra on the side of the road. It was incredible. Like, this place is awesome, man. Then my wife went into Starbucks and some guy walked in there and was yelling because he had to wear a mask. It was funny. Oh, God bless Texas. Oh, Jesus. All right, I want to pray over you guys, and I just am believing tonight we're going to have folks that flew in from all across America and showed up. We're going to have people come in from San Antonio and Houston and Dallas and Austin and Corpus Christi. And everyone's coming to Kerrville. The town is about to be inundated. And Lord, let's just lift our hands. I just want to pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in this city for such a time as this, God. Only you could have planned this moment. God, you knew this date. You knew this moment of significance. You know the eyes of the world would be watching the hillside tonight in this town. Lord, we pray that a sound would be released over America that brings a shift, that dethrones powers and principalities of fear and violence and division. Lord, break off things as people watch the cross. I pray that as people even watch the worship with the cross, they would get saved. Before any altar call, Lord, that they would watch the cross, that they would see, Lord, the sacrifice that you had made, that they would see a courageous church. I pray for thousands of people to give their life to Jesus. Lord, we pray tonight for miracles and signs and wonders. I just have this picture, this dream in my heart, that as people are there watching as we worship and as they're online, as this sound goes viral, I believe they're going to see the cross. They're going to remember the price Jesus paid, and all depression and suicide and anxiety from this season is going to be broken. And that these videos and these testimonies are just going to go like wildfire across the nations. Lord, I pray for this church community. I pray for the Hebrews 10 gritty, passionate, bold Christianity to infect their veins. Let that be the virus that you put in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we will not shrink back. This is a season where we refuse to be cowered and cornered, and we refuse, God, to succumb to the intense push, God, to get us into a corner. Lord, we will shine bright. Arise and shine. Arise and shine, church. And so I just bless this church. I bless this city. Lord, we thank you tonight for the miracles that are going to take place. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give a shout.
Yeah. Come on.